97.5, The Fanatic.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt?
What is a gigawatt? 610-632-0975. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with Josh Rabick. 7 o'clock here on this Friday night. Start of the 4th of July weekend. Back to the Future. That was a clip, of course, from the debut of Back to the Future, 1985. And that right there was, in fact, Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, Dr. Emmett, Doc, as he was affectionately known in the program. Doc was fantastic. Josh, what are the gigawatts? Should I look it up, or do you know off the top of your head?
I have no idea. That sounds like a word that you just make up, where you just combine
things.
He
probably made it up. It just sounded, all right, watts. You put the watts thing together, and okay. And all right, how many watts are here in this light bulb? All right, it's 90 watts in the light bulb. No, 1.1 gigawatts.
It's like when you watch movies from the 80s where we didn't know as much about computers and they're just throwing out random hacker phrases like, yeah, I got to hack a gigabyte to get inside the mainframe. And you're like, what?
Right, right. But I thought Doc, Christopher Lloyd was fantastic in that role as Doc. He really was.
I mean, for pretty much a 10, 12 year period, he killed every single part he had.
That character, even though he had a great career as an actor, that character and Thomas Wilson, who played Biff, you kind of get typecast as those guys. You are that guy. 1 billion watts is 1.1 gigawatts. 1 billion watts. But look, that's a lot of watts. Biff and Doc, when you see Christopher Lloyd, most people are going to be like, yeah, that's Biff. I mean, that's Doc from Back to the Future. Thomas Wilson, I don't know what else he's done, but when I see him, he is Biff.
You know what, though? For me, because Back to the Future was a few years before I was born, I'm only 31, and Back to the Future being 35 years old, I saw him in Dennis the Menace for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as the homeless drifter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But see, I forgot about that because he's Doc to me. Even though he's Christopher, I know his name, he's Christopher Lloyd, but he's Doc.
Me seeing Back to the Future years later, I don't blame you because he is Doc.
Oh, man. And you're right. He's been in Dennis the Menace. That was 93. He did the Addams Family as well. He was in
Angels in the Outfield. He taught me to
believe.
Yes,
he did. Yep. Yes, he was. He was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He was in, I'm trying to think of some ones that we've all, Angels in the Outfield. He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yes, in 75. In 75, Going in Style with Freeman, Kane, and Arkin. He was that was 2017. He did that. A Million Ways to Die in the West. I saw that. That was with Charlize Theron, Seth MacFarlane, and Liam Neeson. And Sarah Silverman was in that. Amanda Seyfried. I saw all of these, but and Charlize Theron still the prettiest. You know, pretty out there in Hollywood.
That's a pretty solid cast.
Yeah, she is, though. I just want to put that in. Margot Robbie's trying to come in and take her spot, but Charlize Theron, yeah.
I'm not really much of a Margot Robbie guy. Like, I mean, really? as an average guy, I look at her and I go, oh, I'm a Margot Robbie guy, but compared to the other celebrities.
So Charlize Theron or Margot Robbie? You go Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. All right, just want to make that clear. She's still, I know a lot of people try to go with that one. 610-632-0975. And Gerald does jump back in and say, you wouldn't have had to trade up to get Donovan Mitchell because the Jazz took him at, I think it was 11 in that draft when Donovan Mitchell was selected in that one. I liked him at that time. And remember, that's when they were talking about, well, what if the Sixers move from 3 and move back to about 5, get an extra pick on the back end because someone might want to move up and get, let's say, De'Aaron Fox. There was a lot of Malik Monk talk at that time. And on the back end, someone like Donovan Mitchell, who was projected between like 8 and 12, 8 in the back end of that lottery, Donovan Mitchell would have been nice.
The dangerous part of that, too, is if you take him too high, you risk the backlash. Because we forget that some of these players aren't valued at that position, and you have to deal with an entire summer's worth of backlash before he obviously gets on the court and is, you know, a rookie of the year type candidate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 610-632-0975. So Back to the Future, guys. If you could go back to the future like Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd did as Marty McFly and Doc in Back to the Future, what would you punch up in that DeLorean to go back in Philadelphia sports and fix? You right that wrong. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens, along with Josh Rabick, with you until 10 here on The Fanatic. And Tanya says here, the mentor mogul, and Tanya is a mogul, she's the best. Tanya says, what the hell is a gigawatt? She said, the first minute I saw that in theaters by myself when I was in college at the Sam Eric on Chestnut Street. Oh, man. 1985, 35 years ago. Hope you have a great weekend, Tanya. Thanks for checking in. Let's go to Brian in Drexel Hill here on The Fanatic. What's up, B?
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. I appreciate your show. You do a great job on it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, first, I'm from D.C., so I have to take offense to what you guys said about Markelle Fultz. Obviously, he was hurt the first 2 years. He did a good job this year. I think he was coming on down in Orlando.
Yeah, he has. But, you know, you look how things turned out. It's something that's tough. And it's something that's tough, and it's something that, even at the time, though, as soon as people saw Jason Tatum, and I know Brendan wants to talk about this, so that's going to be a good one. People talk about Jason Tatum and what they saw immediately from him in the summer league. People were wondering, like, oh, man, did they do something wrong here?
Yeah, it's hard to be at number one. And Jason Tatum, he's a good player already. He's going to be one of the biggest stars.
Yes, he is. And I'm rooting for Markelle Fultz. I've said this before, Brian. I'm rooting for him. He turns things around. Okay. I wanted them to draft him at number one when they moved up, so I was fine with it.
Hey, it's hard to be number one. There's a lot of expectations with that.
There is. But you know, when you step up and you put yourself out there like that, you have to take those reins and run with them.
Yeah, you're right. You were talking about Harper or the others.
Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, both of them.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm an old guy, so looking at the stats that he had, batting 265, I go back to the old days, Frank Robinson and Hank Aaron. He had to bat 300. He had to have 30 home runs. He had to have over 100 RBIs every year to be considered a star. These guys, with the earned run averages of 4.0, the stats came out once a week. They wouldn't even be in the newspaper with a 4.0. They only did from like 3.0 up. So things are different. But the way that people look at these players now, it's hard for people to look at it objectively because of the money they make.
Right, and we pointed that earlier, right, B? We talked about it, and we're like, listen, that money, of course, it puts them in a different lifestyle, but at the end of the day, they still walk like we walk. They still have families like we have families. They have feelings, and he wants to make sure he protects his family.
Right. They still have wives. They still have kids. You don't want to bring anything home to jeopardize your family.
Not at all. Not at all. Right.
The one thing you talked about the Back to the Future.
Yes.
Okay. Again, I'm from D.C.
All right.
So I go back to the Georgetown game. When they lost to Villanova, that crushed the city in 85. That crushed the whole city. If you win one championship, it's great. But if you win two, and Georgetown had a chance to win two in a row, and they lost to Villanova. One more thing: if Michael Graham had played, they would have been undefeated that year.
Yeah, I did not know that one.
Oh yeah, if you go back to 84 and you look at Graham, the guy with the ball head.
Yeah.
He was a terror. He was only a freshman.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, that's a good one. Even though people here are happy that it happened in the Villanova, and then you get the two later on in 2016 and 2018, I hear you. As a D.C. fan, I get it.
Right.
I get it. Brian.
Well, I appreciate it.
You too, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the kind words, man. 610-632-0975. And I don't have enough of, again, growing up here in the city, I root for the Big Five. So anytime teams were in the situation to be successful, I rooted for them. People who listen to the show, you already know my Villanova connection now. And that will, of course, will never waver because of my family. But 85, you know, it's just a great thing in history in Philadelphia sports. And they got it done. So sorry about that, man. Sorry about that for all the folks in D.C., but it worked out very well for the Villanova Wildcats, no question. 610-632-0975. Oh, man. Furious Styles jumps in right away, drafting. He would go back. Let me get the year correctly because I want to make sure I have it correctly with Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki being selected by the Philadelphia 76ers instead of 1998 taking Larry Hughes at pick number 8. Huh? That would have been something. That would have been something. So Fury Styles, understood. Dirk over Larry Hughes. And we've talked about this. I was a Larry Hughes fan in St. Louis. I liked him in college. I thought he would come in and be a very good player. It certainly did not work out when you talk about Dirk Nowitzki and even Paul Pierce afterwards to the Boston Celtics. 610-632-0975. And hip Joey, we'll get to his in a second because Brendan wants to talk about a very good one that we just referenced. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, Devon.
How you doing, man?
Good. One second. There you go. Sorry about that.
All good.
No, go ahead. So first of all, Major Margot Robbie, gotta disagree with you on that.
Hey, I said it. I said I like her. I just said I'm a big Charlize Theron. Yeah. Josh is the one that doesn't like Margot Robbie.
I was going to say I don't have any issue with
Trout.
Like Mike Trout and Victor Oladipo. I think they have the right to do what they want. And then I was also going to say, I just think that baseball needs to do a better job of marketing its star players. If I talk to my friends, half of them don't even know like what Mike Trout looks like. The people that aren't baseball fans, you know?
100%.
LeBron James is one of the most recognizable people on the planet.
Because the NBA does it right.
Yep, absolutely. And that's pretty much all I had on that front.
No,
and then
no
I was going to talk about the Mandalorian, whatever it is.
Go back into DeLorean, and where are you going? What year are you going back to, and what are you doing?
2018, and I'm taking Jason Tatum. I think he would be a perfect fit on this team. I don't like him now because he's a Celtic, but I'd love to see him as a Sixer.
Here's the thing. I hate the Celtics, but I like Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, listen, at that time, so here, let's just go back to 2018 and pre-draft and all of that stuff. I wanted them at pick number 3 to take Dennis Smith or Jason Tatum, and I gave the edge to Dennis Smith because of – no, I didn't give the edge. I was just really, 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 really hardcore on Dennis Smith, and I said I know if it all came down to it, I would probably take the wing player in Jason Tatum to give you that scoring because you can't have enough wings in the NBA. And he has turned out to be – and I was on Markel Fultz. I was with it because I understood having that secondary ball handler with Ben Simmons, giving them a different wrinkle with their offense to allow them to do different things. I got it, and I understood it, and I still understand it. It did not work out, but Jason Tatum with Simmons and Embiid, man, you talk about a guy that would get his – when you talk about giving the ball to somebody who can get that shot for the team, that's that guy.
Yep.
That's that guy. Yep, 100% Brendan. And he's going to be a multiple-time All-Star in this league for a long time, Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we might get to see him in the first round when the bubble starts, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. Brendan, thanks for the call, man.
Have a great holiday
weekend. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. We reset things. We're talking about Bryce Harper and what you expect from him this season and why people came down so hard on him at the end of the 2019 campaign, his first with the squad. Mike Trout, people frustrated with him early on because he was thinking about opting out of playing the season due to the fact that his wife is pregnant. They're expecting a child. They're adding to their family, and I don't have a problem with it, especially with the 60-game season now. Him being back, speaking to the media, saying he doesn't feel comfortable playing with his wife pregnant at home. If this was a normal season, I don't think people would be upset at all. I think they would get where he's coming from. But because of the late start, because of the negotiations that were public, basically, between the Players Association and Major League Baseball, people got upset with when he would answer a question honestly. And I don't think it. I don't think he said anything wrong to put that out there. I really don't. I'm with him. I can't say I would do the same thing, but I think I understand where he's coming from, especially as a father. You want to make sure your family's right. What's wrong with that? Nothing is wrong with that. 610-632-0975. Sky on Twitter says, he doesn't say anything. He just puts a photo up of Nnamdi Asomugha. That's what he would punch back into. Go back and get rid of him and not sign him. I was so excited when they signed Nnamdi Asomugha. I was at the movies. A friend of mine texted me and he was like, yo, the Eagles, Nnamdi Asomugha. I'm like, nah, no way. He wasn't linked to the Eagles. He was linked to other clubs. He's not coming here. Yeah, they need cornerback help, but he's not going to be it. Sure enough, they go get Nnamdi. They trade for DRC. And I'm looking at this saying, oh, that secondary is right with these two guys on the outside. Lockdown on one side. You got the speed on the other with DRC. Come on. Come on. They're going to do this thing right. It was a disappointment, to say the least. And they're still trying to fix their secondary overall. 610-632-0975. Go back in time, 1985. Movies, Back to the Future, was given to us. Hit the theaters and 35 years ago. 35 years ago. What would you do, Philadelphia sports, if you can get in that DeLorean and punch in a year? Go back and change something. 610-632-0975. We go to Nate in Delaware checking in with us next on The Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
Javon!
What's going on, man?
This is Nate from Roman Catholic High School, 1981. I listen to you all the time. My first time calling. I'm sorry I haven't called you before, but I got a DeLorean.
Well, I'm glad you called, man. Thanks.
Yes, Lord. You are outstanding. Outstanding. I listen to you all the time, but you put this DeLorean thing up. My DeLorean thing is, if I got in the car, I would get in the car with Richard Steele and whoop his behind because he stole Melvin Taylor's fight when he was beating Julio Cesar Chavez and fired with 1 second left.
So you want to fight the referee, Richard Steele, famed referee Richard Steele.
I want Richard Steele in the
robbing Meldrick Taylor of beating Cesar Chavez.
Yeah, and he stopped that fight at the end. And it was one or 2 seconds left, and Melvin Taylor was never the same. He was a world champion. Melvin Taylor was a world champion, and Richard Steele robbed him because he stopped that fight. That was a hell of a fight, but Melvin would have won if he didn't stop that fight.
And, of course, that's when boxing was great, Nate. That's when a lot of people were in the boxing. You knew every name, all the heavyweights out there, the middleweights. Lightweights, all that stuff, man. And boxing was great at that time.
I was born and raised on Broad Avenue. My dad ran with Joe Frazier, Eddie Futch, and all them. I met Muhammad Ali at Deer Lake. I was Roberto Duran, met him, Alexa Grillo, all them. Met all of them. But they robbed that boy, and he never was the same. And I'm glad De La Hoya beat him.
Meldrick Taylor.
Meldrick Taylor, Philadelphia Meldrick Taylor, they robbed him.
Changed him. As soon as I type in Meldrick Taylor's name, I didn't even complete his name. And the third option here is Meldrick Taylor robbed, Nate.
Thank you.
You got
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Now you're going to go back and fight Richard Steele to fix
this. I left hooking to the body and left hook to the head like a Joe Frazier.
Nate, thanks for the call, man. Don't be a stranger. Have a great weekend.
I'm going to call you again, Devon. Bless you.
You got to bless you as well, man. Thank you. 610-632-0975. As soon as I type in MELD, it says robbed. Robbed. Meldrick Taylor. Corruption at its finest is what it says here in this YouTube video, Counterpunch Boxing. Counterpunch Boxing. right away videos of Julio Cesar Chavez knocking out, shocking Meldrick Taylor when he was already knocked out. Nate was hot, too. He wants to go fight Richard Steele. Richard Steele.
What probably didn't help, too, is Richard Steele was interviewed by the Los Angeles Times, the LA Times, after that fight and
you
talked about
that.
I looked in his eyes, and he's like, I would have stopped the fight all over again. I didn't like what I saw in his eyes.
You can't walk it back now.
Right.
You can't walk it back now. You have to stay true to what you were saying. Can't walk it back now.
Especially when it's that big of an outcome, too. You got to die on that hill.
Got to do it. 610-632-0975. Good friend jumps in on the text board. Jay says, when we were talking about Christopher Lloyd, right? He was in Taxi. The great Taxi. As Reverend Jim on Taxi. And I of course, I know about Taxi. Did not watch Taxi, but I know about it. And I didn't realize Christopher Lloyd was a part of that great cast of Taxi.
What's rough, too, is I get a lot of these references that kind of predate my time where I still saw a bit of this stuff and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, at the time, he wasn't really Christopher Lloyd to me. Now, I have to go back and rewatch some of this stuff.
Because he was Doc. I got another one before we get to the tweets. I got another one here on the text board from my man CJ on the text board. Says, Joe Carter, because that was the closest I came to experience a championship as a kid. But, you know, and I remember that one, obviously, sitting there in New Jersey with my two cousins. We were over one of their friends' house in New Jersey. It was a female. I can't remember who she was, what her name was. We were all sitting around watching the World Series, and we watched Joe Carter just, they were talking, paying attention. You know me, I'm bad in those environments. As a sports fan, I like to lock in, and I don't need all that extra noise behind me going on. I'm kind of looking at them, and you know how you're locked in on something and somebody's talking to you and you're kind of, or it's loud around you. You ever squint when you're like looking at the TV like it's going to make your hearing better? Because that's me. I'll be sitting watching something, like watching the TV, and you're around family, you're around friends, sports, movies, whatever it is, and you're locked in. Let's just say it's like two females and they're having their conversation and you're just not into it because of what you're watching. They're in it too, but then they go into a whole nother thing. And I'll be like, I don't want to be rude. And I'm like, can y'all be quiet? Let me squint and stare at the TV, lean in a little bit, like it's going to help my hearing. Does anybody else do that, Josh? Do you know what I'm talking about, or am I just crazy? I know I do it. It's crazy. I get it. But I can't be the only one.
You want them to make the decision. You give the suggested action that doesn't make any sense, but they got to make the decision.
They see me squinting here, like kind of leaning in. I'm looking at it, Matt, and I'm like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I'm squinting. It's going to help my hearing.
As an adult, you don't want to shush somebody, too.
Correct.
Shushing just seems like that's something you do to a kid. So you just give suggested action.
Absolutely.
You let them do it.
Absolutely. I can't be the only one. 610-632-0975. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, we're talking about those guys. And, of course, going back in the DeLorean, like Michael J. Fox did in 1985, what would you change in Philadelphia sports? 610-632-0975. You guys, you squint like me right here on the Fanatic. You do.
The Fanatic.
You want me to make a donation to the Coast Guard Youth Auxiliary?
Doc, I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
Marty McFly and Doc in Back to the Future, which was released in 1985, 35 years ago today. 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour, by the way, was brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. If you could go back in time in that DeLorean, like Marty McFly just said, what would you change in Philadelphia sports? 610-632-0975. Let's go to our friend in Drexel Hill, check in with Stan on this Friday night. What's up, Stan?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? Yeah, man, I heard you on there, and you know I had to give you a call, bro. This is a great topic. I got to tell you, even listen, as somebody, I'm going to be 32 in August, and I got to tell you, this movie is before my time, technically speaking. But you know what, man? My kids know about this movie because the amount of times I've watched it around them.
Yeah, I love that.
You know what I mean? Like, I got a 9-year-old and 5-year-old who they're sitting there watching, laughing with me about him being scared when the hologram shark tries to eat him and stuff like that. Like, there's a whole bunch of little things that you don't really appreciate until you get older and you're just watching it. You're just like, this is kind of cheesy, but still like in a great way. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's definitely an instant classic. I didn't really like the third one too much, but those first two, undeniably legit. If you watch the first one, to me, you have to watch the second one. Again, the third one, I'm not really the biggest fan of.
No.
But I deal with it because those first two are just gems. Like, it's rare. A lot of times you have one good movie and then the sequel is a step back. I like them both. Like, I can't really tell you which one I favor more than another, only because of the way the story kind of twists and turns in there. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
I just thought they were both masterpieces. As far as going back and what I would change, listen, you and I have gone back and forth about that T.O. thing. So that's gotta be right up there for me. But I also gotta go with that Fultz over Tatum, because I'm looking at Jason Tatum and Ben Simmons in the All-Star game and the chemistry those guys had. And I'm saying to myself, dang, you telling me we can have a big three of Ben, Joel, and Jason Tatum? You know, and of course, Jason Tatum and Ben, I mean, Joel being training buddies and, you know, being cool outside of the basketball.
The so,
you know,
that could have been. Yeah.
Right, man. So it's just like, oh, man, both of those, to me, if I had to choose one, I think I'll pick the Tatum one just because of the longevity it could present.
And look how it would change things, as you just talked about. It would change things where someone like him, who, when people talk about, well, who are you going to give the ball when the clock is running down to get you a bucket, that the answer is easy.
Jason Tatum. Oh, absolutely.
It's Jason Tatum. Now, you can again say Joel Embiid because he might be he's going to be the best player on your team, but in a scenario on the wing, put the ball on the floor and create, that's going
to
be him.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. To me, the fact that if you just had both of those guys on the team, you just wouldn't be able to go wrong. And I think that just answers. Now, that doesn't mean the Sixers automatically win a championship. That doesn't mean they don't still have problems, because you and I have gone back and forth, still with Brett Brown and you know, his philosophy and how maybe that still would present to be a problem. But that just to know that you had Ben, Joel, and Tatum, all three of those guys, still young, not even in their prime yet, like that to me. And I was on with Fultz, too. I was okay with it because I understood, like you said, I understood what it meant. He was supposed to be the combo guard. He was like, I've seen things where they were comparing him to James Harden because he was shooting back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it all made sense from that type of perspective. I got that. But man, oh man, if I could just go back and make that deal with Danny Ainge and then that draft night just still pick
Jason Tatum. Exactly. Anyway. And Stan, you know what bothered me, and like when we look at it and we do revisionist history with the whole thing, here's the thing about when you make that deal. The whole thing about Fultz, you and I both were okay with it. But if you wanted Jason Tatum, just because you traded and you made it clear that you were going to take Markelle Fultz and move up to number one, you can change your mind at the last minute.
Change your mind, yeah.
And take Jason Tatum. You don't owe Danny Ainge anything.
Nothing, man. That's your biggest competitor.
Yeah.
That's your biggest rival, because this is not just somebody who's in the Eastern Conference, okay? This is not just a guy. This is not even just Pat Riley or something. No, this is somebody who's in your division. Okay, your division, you know, I know people say you're not supposed to trade within your division, but if that opportunity presents itself, you make that trade, and then, you know what, if I can still make sure that I'm taken away from them.
That's his problem.
Absolutely. That's their problem.
That's his problem.
Could you imagine I have to deal, not only just having Jason Tatum on his side, but think about Boston and where they are. And that when they made the run to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost to LeBron, he was their goal factor. He was their go-to guy. Like, a lot of guys stepped up, but he was a big part of it. And him being a rookie was incredible, right? So it's like, could you imagine not having it? And of course, we know he was cooking Robert Covington in the playoffs. So then you wouldn't even have to deal with that problem. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then, after he did it, my friend Michael Lee, who's with The Athletic now, when he did the story, he told Mike, well, You know, we came here. We wanted to come here. We wanted to go number one. They didn't. So every time I'm going to play him, it's going to be something.
Yeah, man. It's just
and he
crazy,
gave Rob,
man.
He gave Covington the work.
The work, man, for the whole series. And it was just like, dang, man. So you're telling me we could have had him and Week in Boston at the same time? Like, that to me is just that biggest. Like, the T.O. thing, it sucks because you went to the Super Bowl and then you saw how things fell apart. So you say to yourself, dang, well, maybe. But, you know, football's a little different, right? Because, you know, anything could really happen. But in that situation, to me, that's just like one of those, damn, man, I really wish. if I really infiltrate the Sixers organization.
And I know.
False is the wrong pick.
I'll give you this one on the way out. Here's what, remember, Elton Brand, the general manager now. Mm-hmm. Brian Colangelo was it before. Elton Brand was the general manager of the Bluecoats, then the 87ers. But of course, he was sitting on those meetings. They would take his you know, his thoughts on a lot of things. From what I understand, and EB didn't tell me this, and I know people know I have a relationship with Elton Brand. He wanted Jason Tatum.
Oh, God, don't
now,
tell me this.
I don't know if it was a dupe thing or just the fact that he could just recognize the talent of Jason Tatum and understood the fit on this team.
Probably both.
Elton Brand wanted Jason Tatum.
Stan, oh, my God,
yeah, sorry,
man.
Sorry I had to ruin your weekend, man.
You but, broke my heart even more.
Stan, thanks for the call, man. Have a great weekend. You got it. 610-632-0975. Yeah, that was one thing that I had heard, and it wasn't from Elton. Wasn't from Elton. You know, right? He comes on, we joke. We would talk about when I would do the tryouts for the 87ers and all. We would speak about things. Him not giving me a spot on the team. He said it would be nepotism. All right, we got a relationship. But I don't abuse the relationship. He did not tell me that. He did not tell me that. Someone else was like, no, EB wanted Jason Tatum. They went with Fultz. It wasn't the wrong pick at the time. It turned out to be the wrong pick because of the two now things, Tatum becoming an all-star and a very, very good player in this league, and Markelle Fultz, a bad fit here with everything that happened with his injury, the shoulder, and whatever else went with it. And now, hopefully, again, he can help himself in Orlando.
I'm not going to do revisionist history. I 100% wanted Fultz. I was like, he fills the need, and he was the consensus number one. I want Fultz all the way, and then it didn't work out.
Here's the thing, too. When you have Simmons and Embiid, and then you have the other stuff sprinkled around, there was nothing really concrete outside of Robert Covington, Dario Saric, maybe. But we saw. They were expendable. You can move and get a player like Jimmy Butler. It's okay. They still needed everything. So you weren't wrong with Markelle Fultz. You weren't wrong with De'Aaron Fox. You weren't wrong with Dennis Smith. And you certainly weren't wrong with Jason Tatum or Donovan Mitchell, like Gerald said earlier. You weren't wrong. Because they still needed, building that team, they still needed everything outside of Simmons and Embiid. They needed everything. J.J. Redick, all right, thumbs up. He was also someone that was, you know, you're going to keep because you brought him as a free agent. But everything else, you needed those things. Jason Tatum, Markelle Fultz, Dennis Smith, even Malik Monk, who I remember one of our guys, what's his name? Coach Prince on Twitter, who follows us on Twitter. Coach Prince says on Twitter all the time, and we used to go back and forth, he wanted Malik Monk. He wasn't wrong. Only thing I used to tell him was, I don't want him at pick number three, and I certainly don't want him at pick number one because he's not worth that pick. If they move back 5 and 10 with that Sacramento deal that everybody kept talking about, if they did that, then all right, Malik Monk will be in my number 10 conversation along with Donovan Mitchell, right? But not at number three. So there were a number of talented players in that draft, in that lottery, that the Sixers could have used coming out that year. They weren't wrong with any of them. The only ones that were really worthy of number one were, in fact, Fultz and Tatum.
Let me ask you, since we're talking about mm-hmm. Tatum, we know players get kind of
ball too, right?
Yeah. And we know players get painted with a broad stroke. And there was another player from Duke after his freshman year that was drafted by the Sixers. How many times did you hear from callers about, another guy from Duke here?
That's always the thing. Duke guys don't succeed in the NBA. That's always the thing, right? That's always the thing.
Like, we know there's a difference between the players, but yeah. I mean, obviously you're going to get people that are going to say, another Duke guy.
Yeah, another Duke guy. They're good. They're not great. Is he going to be a difference maker? This is a building situation here. Can he be a core piece with them? And yeah, I remember, oh, he's Paul Pierce. He's going to hog the ball. He's Carmelo Anthony. He's going to hog the ball. He's going to be a black hole. This is Jason Tatum. Real talk. And I used to be like, yeah, so those guys can score. So can he. Oh, well, he didn't do a great in the tournament. He didn't do enough. They lost. Okay, so he can score. You take him. So Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, even Josh Jackson was turned out to be not a good player in this league because he can't keep himself out of trouble, doesn't work hard enough and all that. The athleticism was something, again, the 76ers did not have. De'Aaron Fox, he would fit that speed at the point guard position with his defense. Jonathan Isaac, with that length, playing as a big wing in this league, a very, very good young defender for the Orlando Magic right now, coming off of injury. I hope he's good, ready for this bubble return. Very good player. I remember Jeff Mosher wanted him really, really badly for this team because of his defensive acumen and his length, the athleticism. He's going to grow into this player as that 3-and-D guy, not necessarily the 3, shooting so far on his young career, shooting from distance. Right now, the Jonathan Isaac is at 32%, 33% from deep. Not really known for that. It's the defense, athleticism overall. Lauri Markkanen, not going to take him high, but you can use him later on with those other picks. A stretch four, a young stretch four that can stroke it and put the ball on the floor and finish in traffic as well. Ntilikina, not so much. I know he was hyped up coming out of the draft. A lot of people were talking about him. I didn't want him. Dennis Smith, people remember, that was my guy. Hands down, that was my guy. It was wrong, but that was my guy. Zach Collins, Malik Monk, Donovan Mitchell went 13. Luke Kennard went 12. Malik Monk went 11. Zach Collins, 10. They could have gone a lot of different places. And how about this one? Bam Adebayo, 14, to the Miami Heat. All-star for that squad. 610-632-0975. That was a deep lottery right there. That was a very, very good draft. After that, John Collins, that has worked out for the Hawks at 19. Harry Giles coming off the injury at Duke, giving them something. I'm glad he's healthy and able to contribute to that young team. Terrence Ferguson has a role with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jared Allen, starting center for the Brooklyn Nets. If they allow him to do that, because he's better than DeAndre Jordan right now, stop it. Stop it. OG Anunoby at 23 for the Raptors, a great pick. And then the Sixers, this is the one where they traded back in. Okay? They traded back in and took Andrzej Pasechnicz, Brian Colangelo. Yes, Brian Colangelo traded back into the first round and drafted Pasechnicz. Should I go any further and let you know what happened after that? Yeah! Kyle Kuzma, Derek White, Josh Hart, the back end of the first round. 36, Jonah Bolden. Yes, Jonah Bolden. How's that working out for you? All right, just ruined Stan's draft night, Friday night with the draft and all of that. 6-1-0.
I think you ruined all our nights.
I did. 610-632-0975. My apologies. Blame Brian Colangelo. Send them his way. All right. Chris Reese Mann, 65. Oh, hold on. Let me reset. Well, Chris Mann says, still trade for Eric Lindros, but find a way to keep Peter Forsberg. I don't know how you're going to do that, but find a way to keep Peter Forsberg. And we know goes.
I don't
on.
Think that's doable.
Exactly. You go on to the career with the Avalanche and Hall of Famer, and you get him later, and it's not the same.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, the problem is you have to think then with Peter Forsberg, really, okay, maybe in 2004, the 2003-2004 season where the Lightning stop you in Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, Peter Forsberg in there, still on that team. Okay, that's a difference maker. But Eric Lindros, up until kind of the end in 2000, was the biggest difference maker in hockey at that time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, that's a good one. We have a bunch, Josh. Spides 78, Destination 119, 2003, Veteran Stadium. Rondé Barber follows through on his blitz rather than drop into coverage. Bird score a TD and trail only 2017 with 3:30 on the clock. Momentum on their side. Did you know that today marks the 35th anniversary of Back to the Future, by the way? Absolutely, Jason. Absolutely. That's why the gift is the DeLorean. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate you checking in with us. But yes, we had that one earlier on the phones. Jay Goldberg, think about this one. Jay says, go back to the draft, 1984 NBA draft, Sixers select, was it 84? Yes, 84 after they won the title. Instead of drafting Leon Wood with the 10th pick, you take John Stockton. Backing up Mo Cheeks, John Stockton. Huh? That's a great one. Oh, man. That's a great one. Let me give you another one. Give T.O. his money. Thank you, JQ. You agree with me. Give T.O. his money. Here is Vince says, hire Doug after Andy instead of after Chip. I don't know that Doug had a track record right there. I think that's when he was in high school, coaching in high school. I don't think he had enough of a track record, Vince, to do that. I didn't have a problem with the Chip Kelly thing at the time because I thought the Eagles were thinking outside of the box. Chip Kelly had this offense that he was going to revolutionize the NFL game. We saw him right away and we were like, darn it, they got something here. I remember I was producing the show on the weekend. My man Mike Gill was doing the show and Mike had Antonio Pierce on, former Giant, who was on TV at that time. Mike came on the show. I'm part of Antonio Pierce. By the way, I couldn't stand Antonio Pierce. Hate the Giants. He was like, no, this has been fun, but they'll figure him out after about 3-4 games. I'm like, no way. Again, I hate the Giants. I don't like Antonio Pierce. I thought he was overrated as a linebacker with the Washington football squad and the New York Giants. I couldn't give him that. I'm like, he's an Eagle hater. That's what he's saying. He's just mad because they're just beating up. They just beat Washington. They took it out on them, right? The Giants, everything. I'm like, whatever. He's like, no. They're going to figure this out. They got to the playoffs, 10-6, had a very good year. Nick Foles, they should have won that Saints game. Wasn't his fault. Roddy Cooper should still be running. He couldn't catch that pass. Shouldn't have been on the team, but should have caught that pass. He caught that pass in the middle of the field. He would still be running. Okay, let me calm down. But after that, Chip Kelly, man.
Not to get stuck on this, Chip Kelly. I mean, if this guy was able to check his ego and make some adjustments, do you think this could have worked? Like, as far as not going tempo all the time, you start off slow, you pick up the first down, and you see how other teams then pick up the tempo. Do you think that could have worked where you keep LeSean, Deshaun,
that's where I was
you keep
about
those
to go
pieces?
With you. I was about to ask you, what is it more the ego stuff of not the tempo, but more of keeping the players that work within that tempo and the ego getting in the way of LeSean and Deshaun?
Yeah, whenever somebody brings up that Nick Foles season and the TD to interception comparison, the 27-2 during the regular season, DeSean Jackson was such a huge part of that because how deep he can get, you can't get to the line and stop McCoy then because how much respect you have to pay to DeSean Jackson. You just can't play a simple cover two and say, all right, we took care of the deep ball.
It was so dumb. It was so dumb. And people still having apologized to DeSean for what they reported at that time. I'll never forget that one. At the time, they worked for NJ.com, and they ran with the whole stuff about him and the gang ties, and this was the reason why. And it never came. Everything comes out. That never materialized. Never came out.
And think about how that impacts you whenever you go somewhere after all these news stories come out that you're related to a gang, all these types of events, when you go to church, anything like that, that affects your home life.
And remember what DeSean Jackson said, even when he came back, but thereafter? He said the reason why he went with Washington because he wanted to play the Eagles twice a year. And he wanted to destroy them. Destroy Chip, basically. Not destroy the Eagles overall, but destroy Chip. 610-632-0975. I mean, come on. Come on, get it together. And look at him now. You remember a couple of weeks ago when his UCLA player said they wanted second outside testing because they didn't trust him? I loved it. This guy's fallen so far off, it's ridiculous. So far off. So far off.
Hey, the Belichick mentality works when you win. When exactly. You don't win, nobody likes you.
Yeah, he got too big for himself. And he got the Malcolm Jenkins thing right. He got the Lane Johnson thing right. You give him credit for that. But the other stuff, yeah, that was on him. Give Reggie White whatever he wanted to stay in Philly. That's Scotty Borgata here on Twitter. 1983. I'll just say it again. 1983. I'm not even going to mention the owner's name because it's not even worth our time tonight. Let's go to Matt in Doylestown next on the Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Devon. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, not bad. I want to go back in the time machine to the Moses Malone trade. As a kid, I was 16 years old. I was ready for Brad Daugherty to come on board and the Sixers just to be part of the big three for the next 5-7 years with him on board. And what they did, I still can't believe that.
Harold Katz working Brad Daugherty out in the driveway, and that made his decision.
Yeah, he said Harold Katz watching him play ball in his driveway, and he's like, well, he's soft.
He's soft. And, dude, wherever you live on the main line or wherever you are, he's shooting jump shots on your asphalt.
Exactly.
Come
he's
on.
He's not going out full bore. He's just kind of looping along.
Right. You got him out here in probably some khakis and something, right?
Yep.
He's got some boat shoes on. He's not trying to go all out and sweat.
He's probably thinking to himself, what am I doing here anyway?
It's just a nice meal with the owner. Let's have a good conversation. I'll show him I can knock down these free throws effortlessly, shoot with his kids or whatever. And, you know, that's what it is. And he decides to go that route. So how about this, Matt? A couple of weeks ago, while we were trying to put some things together, knowing that, you know, some topics we would go differently and try to throw some things out. And Pat Egan and I were talking about, what else could we do? So I had a bite on a mutual friend, and the guy agreed to come on. Guess who agreed to come on? Roy Henson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
We just didn't.
Wow.
We didn't set it up. Not saying we won't do it still, but Roy Henson, we have a mutual friend. And we were going to just basically talk. He was like, oh, I have a lot of stories from what happened at that time.
Oh, I could only imagine.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for him. It wasn't Roy Henson's fault. He was probably just like, I've been traded for what? The number one pick in the draft?
Yep.
And now he was probably floored. And then you give away Moses Malone, too. And it's just like, I just didn't understand it. And when I was a kid, Len Bias was my favorite player back then. And I wanted him to take Len Bias.
At number one?
Yeah, number one. And unfortunately, we know what happened there. But that's who I was really hoping for. And I'm thinking, well, Brad Daugherty's fine. You know, he's a good player. And then, you know, they go down with this whole thing. And I'm like, what just happened?
Yep.
And they never recovered for that for, what, 25 years?
Yep.
So Iverson showed up.
Charles always talks about it. I asked for Shaq. You give me Charles Shackelford. I asked for, you know, something. Brad Daugherty and I together is what he says. And we would have made some noise in the Eastern Conference for years to come. He would have been there after Moses left. He would have been there with Doc and Cheeks, and they would have been fine, man. They would have been more than
they
fine.
They would have been fine. Yeah, and they could have probably added, who knows, and maybe they could have added a piece or two that would have worked out, and they could have been fine for 10 years.
Oh, man,
you know?
Matt.
It would have been a nice team.
Matt, that's a great one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pissed about that.
As you should. Matt, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines up again. Open phone lines for the first time since we got underway. We've had a great first 2 hours. A guy, he might change college basketball. Love the decision, and we'll talk about it when we get back. We'll keep the DeLorean conversation going. What would you go into the DeLorean like Michael J. Fox did in 1985 to change in Philadelphia sports? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens along with Josh Rabick here on The Fanatic.